Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
We glorify the Lord today as he has manifested himself in our midst, and we welcome everyone, particularly the friends and the family members of the newly enlightened servant of God, Joseph, who has been received into the Holy Orthodox Church, who has been cleansed, and whose life and his heart now beats not only in a human sense, but in a truly holy sense, that the grace of the Holy Spirit has come upon him and is transforming him. If it's perhaps you may recall, over the course of these Sundays after Pascha, I always mention how the feast of baptism of Pascha connects so intimately with the themes of baptism that go through this Paschal season, and how we hear these stories about the water, the pool of Siloam where the blind man washed, or the Samaritan woman who would receive from the well the waters to drink, or 3 weeks ago the story of the paralytic who was healed by the water, the cleansing water of Christ in the pool that was present. So there's this theme throughout the Orthodox Church of this idea of water. You know, Pascha and the resurrection of Christ is not just about an event, but it's about what Christ continues to do in the world because he has risen from the dead and what he mystically does. And so to have a baptism today and to be able to actually see and experience this and to be present as God is doing this work, the same work that he has done since the beginning of his ministry and since his death and resurrection. We heard this in the story of the Acts of the Apostles. And we see actually a beautiful image here. First of all, St. Paul casts out the demon from the clairvoyant girl. This got him into a lot of trouble, got him thrown into jail. Didn't matter. The demon had to be cast out. And so that all the stuff that we were doing in the back of the church, that's exactly what we were doing. We're casting out the devil. Okay? Because it's, as it were, the human person must be made ready in the spirit. And in the world, we share in the ill effects of the world, in the wounds of living in this world, even as a child. Children experience these things as well, the sorrowful brokenness of this world. And so the evil one tries to align himself with that brokenness and tries to take hold of our hearts. And so he must be cast out first. And so that's why the church does this exorcism. But we also saw in the second half of the story today how the jailer received, through having heard the praises of God from the lips of Paul in the middle of the night in jail, he was able to respond in his heart, first of all, seeing the miracle of the deliverance of Paul from his shackles and his own fear, Paul reaching out to him in love and saying, "No, don't kill yourself." Wouldn't that be a sign to put out on 250? Don't kill yourself, but rather come and receive the light. Come and receive what I have to offer to you. And this is what St. Paul did in reaching out to the jailer and began to show him and reveal to him the truth of the gospel. And the jailer then responded by the grace of God in that moment and then took Paul home and cleansed his wounds. But the jailer himself was baptized. And not only the jailer, but also his whole household, it says twice in Acts of the Apostles. And so this is one of those little witnesses of the scriptures to the church's ancient practice of baptizing everyone, even little children, even before they understand what they mean, because the great gift of faith is that, and it is something to which we will come to express and to understand only in time, but nevertheless the grace can come forth into the soul, even to an infant, and begin that saving process that God alone can do in the soul, and that is accomplished through holy baptism. You may recall that another of the themes I've been speaking about over the Paschal season has been that of evangelization. And so we have in the story of the jailer in Acts again, another example of evangelization, how the gospel was spread. We have in the story of the man born blind that we heard in the gospel. Here is a man who receives the grace of Christ through the washing in the pool. The grace of Christ is manifest in his ability to see, and now not only see visibly, but begin to see spiritually. If you follow through his his journey through this story, this chapter of the gospel, how his faith in Christ is strengthened, and it's only because he stands on the truth. The truth is that Jesus healed him, and he did not understand who Jesus was, but he gave testimony to the truth, that Jesus had come and had healed him, and then he began to put two and two together and say, well, wait a minute now. He was tested again and again. Well, these people said, well, what happened to you? And these people said, they dragged him into the Pharisees, and they said, how did this happen? And tell the story again and all this stuff. And he begins to put two and two together. And he begins to understand that this is the power of God that has been working within him. And that the Pharisees were wrong. And they were in the darkness because they did not understand that Jesus was the one who was bringing the illumination. You see, that's what baptism is. It's an illumination. It's an illumination of the soul. Eventually, it gets to our minds. But the grace really is operative first in the soul. It's something that moves us in some way, and often imperceptibly. But our goal and the responsibility of parents and godparents is to continue that process. So just like this man born blind, that he can... that Joseph can also grow in the faith and mature. Now, one of the things that I had also mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I'm sure you all remember this in my sermon about the Samaritan woman. You could tell me, I'm sure, but I'll just remind you just what it was that I said. But the fact is that it was through his testimony, the story of the Samaritan woman received the testimony of Jesus. But likewise, the story of the paralytic gave the testimony about Jesus, but then also in the manner of his life. So the paralytic, you remember, it was because he was carrying his pallet around that people could see that God had worked. So it is in the life of the Christian that it's by what you do and how you live that people will then see. That becomes part of the testimony. And that thirdly, that way that you live will be challenged. And so again, that's what we hear in the story of the gospel. And if you think about it, this guy, the man born blind, he's just blind. He's given the mud in his eyes by Christ in this little teaching. And then he's told to go. And then he washes his eyes. And he's able to see. Of course, Jesus did not go with him. In fact, even when he comes back, Jesus is gone. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. He's just the one who commanded me to do what I was supposed to do. And the guy was smart enough to obey Jesus. So if he doesn't take that first step of obeying Jesus, then nothing happens. There is no sight. There is no miracle. There is no chapter 9 of the Gospel of St. John. But he did. He obeyed Jesus. So here's the thing, that what parents must teach their children and what godparents must teach their children is to obey Jesus. And this is where the whole realm of the moral life in Christianity comes into play. It has to be the whole thing. The whole Christian way is what brings us to illumination. And through that obedience, that's how the illumination comes. That's how we begin to see, not only physically, but spiritually. That's how, when obedience is at work in our hearts, and by obedience here, I don't mean a legal sort of thing. What I mean is a suppleness of our hearts to God's working. And you see, that's another thing that holy baptism does. The worst thing in Christianity is a hard heart. So what baptism does is creates a supple heart. It creates a heart that is ready to receive the direction of Christ. If we go in the wrong direction in life, it's probably because our heart is hard and we're going our own way. We're not following the direction that Jesus wants to go. But realize that even in doing so, even without Jesus whispering in this guy's ear every second, which sometimes we wish he would do to show us what we need to do, but he was just simply faithful. He was obedient to what Christ said, and he was honest in his truthful witness about Christ, and he was tested it again and again, and his strength of his faith grew stronger and stronger, And Christ was with him, even though he was not physically with him. Grace was with him. You see, sometimes I think that we believe that, you know, if we come into the church, we have a conversion experience, we're baptized, that we're going to have this kind of thing where Jesus is supposed to whisper in our ear every step of the way. And at least for most people that I know, that is not the case. And in fact, that can be a great delusion. If you talk to a lot of the crazy people, they're saying that God is whispering into their ear. Okay, they're not. And that's exactly, by the way, what was going on with the story of the clairvoyant woman. And she was speaking words that were seemingly true. She thought she had the truth of God. But there was something amiss in it. You see, so that's why we need to be very sensitive in our hearts to what the true leading of Christ is. And we have to realize that sometimes we have to ponder. We have to go with God's silence. We have to accept persecution, as this man did. He got kicked out of the synagogue because he just simply gave testimony to Christ. What did that do? That opened him, that suffering, that difficulty in his giving testimony opened him to the possibility of another encounter with Christ, where the Lord came and gave him counsel and gave him encouragement and affirmed to him and allowed him to see this man, to see the face of Jesus. Now, if you ask yourself, what are we doing when we have icons in our church? That's what we're doing. Okay, we're seeing the face of Jesus. Not that, you know, this is the face of Jesus in a, you know, a physical sense, but it's a way of seeing the face of Jesus in a spiritual sense. And that we're trying to orient our hearts and our minds and our mind's eye to Christ, to spiritual things. It's so easy to look at everything else in the world. And so that's why it's a good thing to raise the children in the presence and with the icons so that they can see this. And they can, and this can be a means, the icons can be a means of cultivating in their souls, awakening their souls, helping them to see the kingdom of heaven and the presence of Christ in their lives. St. John Chrysostom said that the blind man was obedient to Christ in everything. What a great statement. It's another one of those great things I love to have on my tombstone, that he was obedient to Christ in everything. Of course, we can't do that, can we? Because of our disobedience. But nevertheless, one other final characteristic about this idea of how the Word of God is spread and how holy baptism and through the sacred waters of baptism, this happens. It was an interesting little word that was in the gospel, and it was very intentional. The apostle points this out, and it's the word sent. The man in his obedience was sent. He was sent to the poor, and he was sent to those other people. He was sent to his father and his mother so that they would understand that Jesus is the one who is Lord. How many times do I know, and we know of a few situations in our own spiritual family here, where it has been through the children who have been sent to their parents to give testimony to the truth of Jesus. And that truth has been accepted to them, and they have been baptized, and they have been chrismated, and they've received what it is that Christ would have them receive. And so the man faithfully testifies to the friends, to the strangers, to his parents, and then ultimately to the Pharisees, and most of whom would not accept his testimony. Which is also like Christ. Most will refuse, but that doesn't matter. He was still obedient. For his salvation, it was necessary for him to be obedient. And so really, this becomes for us a bit of a template for how the gospel is spread. No, we don't have to get on a street corner. Unless the Lord says, be obedient to my word in your heart, and go on a street corner. But for most of us, that's not the case. He doesn't say, necessarily, go to Africa, unless you're maybe Bill Black. He says, go to Africa. But there will be ways, whether it's in your own family, or whether it's with your friends, or the people that gather with your family, where you will have the opportunity to be sent, and to be obedient to Christ, and have an opportunity to invite people to come to know that truth, that saving truth. This is the truth that we're not only just proclaiming today, in this glorious day in which we celebrate this holy baptism. But we're experiencing this. We're experiencing salvation in our midst of one young child, but indeed the salvation of each one of us. We're being reminded of our own baptism and our own entry into the glory of God. And maybe again a call to once again, let's be obedient. Let's be obedient to what Christ calls us to do when we came through those doors the first time. And when the devil had been cast out, and now that the purity and the faith and the glory of God is before us, let us walk faithfully into the midst of the assembly, and let us receive Christ not only in faith, but also in the mysteries of Holy Communion. And let us be obedient to him all the days of our lives, leading us to the faithfulness of that second encounter with Christ that is in glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ with you.
Indeed, he is risen.